We'd like to ask you, how many times have you heard in your short time? If you are young, you still have a lot to go, but if we are a little older, how many times have you heard the expression, Jesus is coming? Right? Many. Some of you that have been listening to this for more than 60 years, and he's coming soon. And what is sad is that many people take that and become discouraged when I have heard so many hundreds of times, and they are driven to the point of doubt. This is not only on our time, but even in the past and many years before, people have got discouraged because I don't think they clearly understand what the Bible says, I'm coming soon. We have to connect, I'm coming soon, with a goal that says the house needs to be full. He cannot come until the house is full. And I will explain to you what biblically that means. I can guarantee you that you have been a Seventh-day Adventist for many, many years, and you never heard the approach that we're going to use today, with the exception of some young people that come to our baptismal class. They already heard the concept. So let's look at the title. Today's message, of course, it is a full house. And I don't know how to play cards. I have no idea how to play cards. But some of you may have heard the expression a full house. And they think that some people think that that is a winning hand. The full house that I'm talking about here has nothing to do with chance. Has nothing to do with cards. It is not a game. It is not something that you can feel confident about it unless you believe in the one who promised a full house. Going back to Genesis, if you look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, but today I'm going to share with you the 28, when God says, let us make humans in our own image. And God said, own image, what that means? Not only the ability to reason, but also the ability to procreate. And so this is what it says in verse 28. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, of course, and said to them, be fertile and multiply. By the way, I want you to think this in a concept of the mother church as well. A church needs to be fertile and multiply. Church are not created just to be an entertaining place or a theater. Church needs to be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground. Sometimes we see a church as almost like the Noah's Ark. Yes, a lot of beasts inside, but they are there because the Lord put them there and the Lord will save them, right? So we have to understand that we are all unique, all different, but this is the place where we need to be to multiply and to fill God's house. Genesis 1, verse 28. Now, a place at a table. There is a parable that is mentioned two places, Luke and also Matthew, but I chose the Luke version. It says here in verse 15, this is Luke chapter 14. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus explained, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
By the way, have you made a reservation yet? Because some of you have received the invitation more than 60 years ago. Have you taken care of all the dress or everything? Are you setting aside that date? Are you taking care? Because sometimes when people are invited, sometimes they decline because they say, I don't have the proper dress. Oh, I have to buy a gift. No, I better say no. look, to this event, you need to be only say yes, because the Lord will provide the dressing code. He is going to give you what all that you need. All you have to say is yes. What a blessing to be there, sir. I'm going to be there. By your grace, I'll be there. All right? So here's the banquet. I don't know how many of you have been invited to a banquet before. Some of us are not invited as much as others, but it's all of us have been invited to some kind of celebration, right? A place at the table. Jesus replied with this story. He says, a man or a woman prepare a great feast. But in this case, a man here is means Abba himself. Prepare a great feast and send out many invitations. Many, many. How many? Enough to fill every place at the table. Very important that you don't miss this point. All the invitations is the intent to fulfill the places that has been prepared. If you open your Bibles, it's not going to be on the screen. Please open the Bibles. There is one probably in the pew before you. In one text that all of you are very familiar, John 14. John 14, if you read verse 1, 2, and 3, what it says? Let not your hearts be troubled. What else does it say? In my Father's house there are places for everyone that is invited. I'm going to prepare a place. Why am I going to prepare a place? Because what I want you to be also. Isn't that the way we feel about our children? Hopefully, when they are far away, we miss them and we wish to be with them or them to come and visit. The Lord is anxious to invite all of us to his kingdom. It says, he sent out many invitations. And then it says like this, the banquet, all are. By the way, look carefully. If you imagine that this picture is a reflection of the God's kingdom, if you look carefully, there is a place up there with your name on. I know. When the banquet was ready, he, Jesus Christ, sent his servants to notify those who were invited. But they all refused to come. Believe me, sometimes I feel like make a sermon with the title All. You'd be amazed how many times the all is mentioned in the Bible. In so many different circumstances. This is one of the sad ones. But all refused to come. This was a particular group that he was confident they were coming because they were close to him. There's a family, relatives, but they refused to come. Matthew 22, verse 3, New Living Translation. Now go back to Luke. But they all began making excuses. What is the word excuse? Excuses are very dangerous. You know why? Because excuse is a form to lie without feeling like you're lying. Excuse is like you try to justify what you know you cannot justify. So you lie to yourself first, and then you start gorgitate all that lie to on top of somebody else. I'm sorry that I've been so rough to say this, but it is true. You go and throw that excuses on others. God has provided us as human beings with such a unique ability to read the eyes and the face of those that are finding excuses, and you can tell clearly. I remember a politician come before the cameras and said, no, I haven't done nothing wrong. I don't want to go into details, okay? So I did not have this, and so on. And I was there in front of the television, and I told my wife, he is lying. But my wife is more, kind of better person than I am in that sense. And she said, no, it's not possible. Look at him. I said, I can see this. He's lying. Yes. And then somebody else went and says, 30 sometimes, no in lies. Yep, liars. Excuses. One said, I have just bought a field. I have a new business. If you buy a new business, you need to be there. So this person looks like have a justification, right? And I must inspect it. How can you expect me to buy a business, not to ego? Priorities. Please excuse me. And when a person says, please excuse me, he's trying to put the burden on the other person instead of yourself. Please excuse me. Luke 14, this is verse 18. A place at a table. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen. And I want to try them out. Why don't you do it later? No, it is an excuse. Please excuse me. Verse 19. And then verse 20 says, another said, I just got married, so I can come. In that case, he didn't say, please excuse me. He just says, as a fact, I got married, I can't come, that's it. No, don't please excuse me. I'm not going. Then a servant returned and told his master what they all have said. His master was furious. By the way, I checked the word here, an original. Some people, if in most versions, you will see the word, he was angry. But this is reference to God, so God is not angry. So in original, actually means he was displeased. He was unhappy. He was unhappy for what this, because he sent the invitation, and they refused to come. When he loved them, and he wants to do what is best for them, and they still refuse. So sadness in a sense of frustration, because I want to help you, I want to save you. Why don't you come? I have a place with your name. Why don't you come? Go quickly into the streets, into the valleys, with all those people there that you claim, you, the ones that did not come, claim that they are not good enough to be saved or to be anywhere. Bring them, invite them, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Do you know why Jesus Christ mentioned those? Poor, crippled, blind, and lame? Because in a Jewish theology, all those people were being afflicted by God, and God would never invite them into the kingdom. They were sinners. Jesus could have put in a list here too, the tax collectors. They are the undesirables of our society. We don't want them. They make us uncomfortable. Today, when you walk in some places, you have people that may make you feel uncomfortable. Because they may be on drugs, they may be on alcohol, which is a drug also. We call them now homeless. Beggars. They have been always around. And they will be around until the Lord comes. But we cannot allow to be indifferent. And continue, it says, verse 22, after the servant had done this, he reported. And this is the key part of the whole parable. There is still room for more. I cannot stop, the church cannot stop as long as there is a place for more. Some of you may say, but Pastor, I don't feel comfortable to go out and give Bible study. Let me tell you a story that I already told you before. I was just a teenager. And my brother, I call him my brother, but he was actually my cousin. But we were brought up together, so he was kind of borrow brother. Enoch, you know. So we were brought together, and he became a friend of my cousin, which is I call my brother. He was his friend. But my cousin came to the United States. Now, the friend decided, okay, I'll be friend of you because you are his cousin. So he became my friend because I was the cousin. And we decided, we started going to school together, same school. We both attended a Presbyterian church, Presbyterian school. And he attended a Presbyterian church. And he was about to be baptized in a Presbyterian church. One day, I was, you know, we, as a young people, were single. We went on Sundays in the evening to the center downtown just to see the girls pass by. And so we stayed there for hours, 2 or 3 hours. That's all that we did. We got a lot of exercise. Neck exercise. We did this every Sunday. But just a few minutes before 7 o'clock, I told my friend, I'll be back at 8 o'clock. And I'll leave. And he stayed there all by himself. The following Sunday, I'll be back at 8 o'clock. Edelson, where are you going? Every Sunday at 8, you, what? I told him, I'm going to church. What? I'm going to church. What? I'm going to church. How do you go to church at this time? Because he thought it was a Catholic church. And the Catholic church, they offer mass all day long. On Sunday, in my hometown, you had a Catholic church every block, almost every block, everywhere. It's, my hometown is so Catholic. It's one of the most Catholic cities in the whole state. Had it everywhere. It even had one of the largest sanctuary built in my hometown, a Catholic, one of the largest in the world. Not the largest, but one of them. Huge. They build there. And we could hear them on the radio station, everywhere. Speakers, they were everywhere. So they thought that I was a I says, no, I'm going to Seventh-day Adventist. What? Seventh-day Adventist church. Oh, but you worship on Sunday this time. He says, no, this is just a worship service. Can I go with you? I said, what? I was shocked. Can I go with you? If you want to. He came. And he came. And then one person in the church, somebody who did not invite him, but somebody else took the next step. Asked him, who are you? And he says, oh, I am Edelson's friend. I said, has he offered you a Bible study yet? Said, no. So he came to talk to me. The member came to talk to me. Was a church elder. He came to talk to me and says, I told him that you can give him Bible study, and he accepted. So now I'm going to give a Bible study. We gave a Bible study, and he decided to be baptized. In the day that he was going to be baptized, the principal of our school, the Presbyterian, which was a pastor also, a very strong, opinionated pastor. This is not all pastors are like that, okay? But he is very strong with his way, very strong. And he decided to make a point. He came to the church to put pressure on him not to be baptized. He said on the first, not because he was supporting, just tell him, why in the world are you going to be baptized in this church? But he did not give. Thank God he was very solid. He was baptized. And then he decided to go to a college, a Seventh-day Adventist college, the same college that I attend to get my degree in theology. He graduated as a pastor. And he has been, and he's still, probably still a pastor, all his ears. And the first people that came to the church was his mother, his dad, his siblings. They all became Seventh-day Adventists. Brothers and sisters, when you think about giving Bible study, maybe all you need to do is to say to a friend, I'm going to church. Nothing else. That anybody here can do this? I noticed that some of you can't. Okay, I'm getting more volunteers. All right. So all you have to do is say, I'm going to church. Be consistent, and then somebody will follow you. Be in doubt, you confuse yourself and confuse everybody else. Be consistent with what you believe, and you'll be a very strong model for other people to follow. Be consistent to what you have. I have some idea for another sermon, but I'm going to just give a little hint about here. How many of you here know what is B1 vitamin good for? Anybody here knows what B1 is good for? A nurse raised her hand, of course. Now, I'd like to say to you that as a Seventh-day Adventist, you need to take at least 28 B vitamins. From 1 to 28. B stands for believe. So, what is the best one to believe is to be one. All right? So, that's just a hint that I'm going to use in another sermon. But I couldn't resist. All right, continue. It says, a place at the table. So, his master said this. Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come. Urge. Be committed. So that the house will be full. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's go back just a little bit before we continue reading to what God said to Adam and Eve. Multiply and fill the earth. What would have has happened if they multiply and now the earth is full? What would happen? They would no longer have children. The intent for procreation was established by God is to fill the earth. Do you think God changes? No. The Bible says that changes not. So the rule that he established for Adam and Eve is still valid. He is just waiting for the number to be right, and he will come. Probably you never thought that a multiply, fill the earth has anything to do with the Jesus Lord's coming. It is very clear that God is looking for that number. When that number is fulfilled, the house will be full and Jesus Christ will come. Amen. The door of grace will be closed and he will come. For none of these I have first invited will get even the small taste of my banquet. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ said this to his disciples, and that includes you and I. Multiply and fill the house. He said to them, to all of us, go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel to all people, because my house needs to be full so I can come. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So the B vitamin is important. Believe and baptize. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. It is important to believe and to be baptized. Now, are you familiar with this picture? I believe this is one of the most gorgeous pictures that I have seen of Jesus Christ preparing with the investigative judgment. Some people, I started with Desmond Ford. He started going around telling people that this is not true. There's no such thing as investigative judgment. And some people believed him. And he was eventually left the church and took a lot of people with him. But I'd like to say this to you, brothers and sisters. When you go to the Bible, especially in John 14, when Jesus Christ says, I will prepare a place. He is preparing a place. He is putting the numbers together. And when that number is done, he's going to say, it is finished. The ones who belong to Satan, to the dragon, they will be sealed. The Holy Spirit cannot touch them anymore because the number is already complete. The same thing those that have accepted Christ. He says what is holy is going to be holier. The door of grace will be closed. The number will be said. And the Bible says Jesus Christ will come and bring with him the reward. What is the reward? Eternal life. And what the Lord will do? I don't know if you notice my slides. We have always a little earth in a corner. That was intentional. This is what Jesus Christ said. I am the door to the kingdom, or the door to the banquet. Without going through this door, you will not find a place, a special place for you. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John 10, verse 9, New King James Version. My brothers and sisters, I'd like to share to you a true story. You can find this story on YouTube. This young fellow here, his name is Teddy Mazzini. He resides in Arizona. When he turned 6 years of age, his mom put a big, big birthday party for him and invite all his kindergarten classmates, 32 of them. You cannot see the whole picture, but it has a long table and all the pizza there. And on the plate it says, party on. Very good eyesight. So it says there. And then it says his mother, Sil Mazzani, had a birthday party on Sunday and invited more than 30, which it precisely was. I listened to the Inside Edition, made a report. It says 32 classmates were invited. And what happened? No one showed up. Not a single one. Now look at this face. So this was, the mother decided to make a video and post. Millions of people visited the site. It was a hit. And so the television, the reporters got the story, and they started talking about the story. And there is a happy ending to the story. After a big disappointment, they got a phone call from the baseball team of Arizona, Sun Phoenix. And they invite him to attend his first ever game and gave him the best party ever. This is one example when we set up a party and expect everybody to show up and nobody does. And if you go to YouTube, you find many stories like this. I just picked his because I look at his face. He looks like, why not? Why nobody showed up? And when you are 6 years old, you have a heart of an angel. You cannot understand why nobody will show up. I'm a nice kid, hopefully. Brothers and sisters, no one came. You don't want Jesus Christ's face to look like that. When he calls your name and you don't show up. Let me be a little bit tough on you a little bit, okay? Be ready. Stretch a little bit. Here it comes. How many of us, when invited to come to church, I'm too tired. I'm sick. I have to go to work. I stay late. I stay up late for so many hours. I'm so tired. I'm not going to go to church. I'm going to stay in bed. If you miss one invitation, you may create a pattern. Don't let anything ever discourage you from coming to church. If you are almost dead, the place where there is resurrection is the church. If you are about to give up your spirit, come to church, here is the spirit. Don't try to find excuses not to be where the Lord is.
Amen.
Because you may run the risk to be a person who will not show up. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Don't use them because they will burn you. If you use excuses, probably you don't have a very strong character. People who does not have a strong character has to change before we get to the kingdom.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you, my brothers and sisters. When Jesus Christ comes, watch, therefore, it says the Bible, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But when the number is met, he will say, it is finished, and your name will be called. I hope when Jesus Christ open his arms, you'll be one of those that will come to be in the kingdom. The house then will be full because you'll be there. God's blessings to all of you. Let's march to Zion.